Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a recent poll in the UK put Gladiators as people's favourite game show. It's highly debatable that if it even is a game show, but perhaps it also indicates that we're no longer in the era of peak game show. So what makes a great one, and why aren't there as many of them anymore? Mark Hughes has worked in game show development and question writing. Joins us now. Afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Sean. Good to be back. I was talking to you last year.
That's right.
About quiz writing.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
It's nice to be back. Thank you for having me back.
So is there, am I wrong in that impression that there doesn't seem to be as many game shows anymore?
No, there's still plenty on the daytime schedules. So if you look at your daytime schedules on BBC and ITV, you'll see there's plenty of the daytime shiny floor stuff for the older audiences and kids coming back from school. Television's just going through a really funny time at the moment. Like, you know, it's been quiet for me from a personal point of view, but I'm only speaking anecdotally here, like in terms of my workload, though I am going back to Manchester to work on another series of something further down the line. But like I said, I think now what it is, it's like, yeah, is Gladiators a game show? I wouldn't say, yes, it is a game show, but I would put it into kind of more like a physical challenge show. It's not the sort of thing that I would write for, because like, I'm a quiz writer. So I could kind of work on the kind of general knowledge game shows rather than the kind of big physical stuff like that.
Which I would call a game show. Or a quiz show in the general understanding of that,
yes,
rather than people hitting each other with, you know, big Q-tips. That's not really a game show. But is there kind of then, so at the moment, getting one off the ground, would that be difficult at the moment in the current state of the TV industry?
Well, that's the whole thing at the moment. There is some screen shoots coming out at the, I am aware of one or two companies that are looking to develop, but it all depends on what the networks want. So basically what they'll do is they'll approach like production companies and say, like, we're looking to have this particular schedule filled. We're looking for a daytime show. We're looking for a primetime show. And various different companies will come up with ideas. They'll pitch them to the commissioners. And then if the commissioners like one or two, the big networks have what's known as a development budget. And what they'll do is they'll give the production companies a big chunk of money to make a pilot. So we go from a run through to a full studio pilot, and just to see what it's like. And you could be, you know, I've worked on these before. Like in 2022, I worked for Ant and Dec's company in developing two game shows for them. And we had one, which was fantastic. We did a run through with it. ITV saw it. They were like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, and then they give us a budget to build, you know, full studio set with the presenter, with celebrity guests, with an audience. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, they were like, no, it's not for us. And that happens. But that happens. You know, you got to just take it on the chin, move on. You know, there'll be another gig coming up. And sometimes it comes down to budget. And personally speaking, from that particular project, I saw what took over our slot, or the one we were gunning for. And it's like, oh, theirs was cheaper to make.
Yeah.
that was it. But and I was like, it just comes down to money.
But I suppose in these kind of shows, you can block record them. excuse me. So are they relatively cheap to make, or at the more expensive end?
Well, that's the thing. It depends what it depends what show you're making. Like, so on a typical program, say for example, I worked on a show just recently called The Finish Line. It just aired on BBC One. There, made it up in Belfast. Chris Jones and Potato. That's the company that make The Chase. And we would bang out about 3 to 4 of those a day. And that's the good. It's one thing in terms of like the way the quiz shows work is that they're nice and cheap. And that's why they get the viewers in. They're relatively cheaper for studio space because you're paying the same amount of studio time for like, for 4 episodes than you would say like a celebrity panel show, which is just the one. So that's one thing that's kind of going for us in terms of like the daytime quiz show stuff, like, you know, and I'd say, yeah, you block book them out. And you, like I said, you've got the, you know, you get the contestants in, you roll through them, and then you got, you know, so you make about 30 episodes within like 2 weeks, less than that even sometimes without a dark day. So yeah, it's a fascinating process.
Yeah. Now, as to what makes a good one, or what makes a TV company say yes or no, I years ago I presented one series of a quiz show on TV3, or what was TV3 then at the day.
Yes, yes.
At the time. Now, it was called Crossfire, and it was basically a quiz show. But the difficulty with it, and it soon became apparent the difficulty with it, is that the rules were to understand the rules is more challenging than answering the questions. Because it would take me, I'd have to go through the spiel, which for the life of me, I still don't quite understand it. But people could redirect questions to each other, and it was pass or play, or there was another thing you could do as well. And that's like, and it was quite obvious when we, you know, and we were block recording these. It was quite obvious after a very short space of time. This isn't working, because even we would have to stop recording occasionally because one of the contestants would go, sorry, can you do that? Are you sure? And then have to go no and show them a piece of paper and say, yeah. So if the contestants couldn't understand it, then obviously an audience couldn't either. So I imagine being able to describe it in, you know, two sentences or less is pretty key.
Mm. The way I always said, like, you know, simplicity is key when it comes to these things. If you can pitch it in one go. I worked, the first ever show I worked on, and funny enough, I was a contestant on it as well before I became a writer on it, was a show called Lightning. And it was brilliantly simple. It was basically musical chairs, the game show. Yes. You can almost picture it. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like Tipping Point is Tuppenny Nudgers, the game show. The Chase is basically Good Guys versus the Bad Guys, the game show. And then what you've got again, the Finish Line again, you know, those little horsey races, you know, those little racetrack horse race in arcade games you see at the front, that's that, the game show. And like, if you turn it on, it's like, oh yeah, okay, it's fairly easy to get your head around. Like the more complicated, the better. The more complicated, the you know, the more you're going to lose your audience. And I think in a weird way, it's just been announced that Jeopardy's coming back for the UK television in for ITV. And funny enough, I work for the production company that make it, although I'm working on all the production. But they, I think it suffered low ratings because it is a bit of a tricky thing to get your head around. Now, I love Jeopardy. I think it's a brilliantly written quiz. But I think for British audiences who aren't used to the American one, just find it a little bit hard to get their heads around. Now, it's getting a second series. It's been announced. They're looking for cast members for that. Stephen Fry's back to host. And I think if it gets its legs, if people get behind it, then it will become popular, because I absolutely adore the show. So I'd love to see it do well here in this side of the Atlantic and people really getting behind it, you know?
Yeah. And ideally, should the format be, it can work with any presenter, or a bit like The Weakest Link, it was at its best when Anne Robinson was like being generally horrible to people.
But I think it's a magic formula. That's, if you know, you've got, it's the concept, you know, the concept, the host, and then the cast. And if you can get those three right, then you've got a hit. And once you've got that on the go, those are the three magic things, really. Like, you know, and sometimes you can miss out on one and it doesn't, you know, the show can flounder. But I actually think get the concept right, then worry about the host, and then everything else will fall into place.
Mm. And for the concept to work, I suppose there has to be stakes. There has to be things you can lose. But does it necessarily have to be you can win £1 million at the end of it, or, you know, it's a trip to Butlins? Is the prize that important, I suppose, is what I mean.
I think it depends on what time of day it is. You know, you do have the bigger money shows on in the afternoon, you know, in the evening slots, whereas the lower stakes programs are on, like, you know, stuff that I write for is daytime television. But I'd tell you an interesting thing I've noticed when I was working on a program called Ridiculous last year in Manchester, and you have a chance to actually double your money at the very end with one last question, and very few people took it. Huh. Very few. I think it's just because shows the cost of living crisis at the moment. Like, because if I tell you you've got £3,000, you want to risk it for six, you're more likely going to take it, and it's indicative of this climate at the moment. And I find we obviously, as producers, we can't go up to them and say, here, go on, give it a go. Like, you know, we can't do that because it's a gambling thing. We basically, we were disappointed that a lot of people weren't going for it. And, you know, but we can't do anything to change that. And it just goes to show you that's just the climate we're in.
And you can't blame them for that. Also, as well, contestants, when it's not celebrity contestants, casting these things can be challenging. You can get people who are very good at quizzes, but not exactly the chattiest individuals.
That's it. That, again, that's another magic formula. And big shout out to all my buddies who are in casting out there. We work alongside them in the same offices and we see how they go about it. And so what typically happens if you apply for a game show, you want to be on television, so you're probably not going to be a shrinking violet. Second thing is it's for money, so here, who doesn't want to win, you know, £5,000? So okay, great, so those two boxes ticked off. Third thing is that once you are kind of sending your initial application, the casting will hit you up and they'll give you an initial general knowledge test right on the spot to see how well you do, because ultimately we don't want you making an idiot out of yourself on national television. We want you to be nice and calm and relaxed and obviously be confident enough to do it. So sometimes we'll have a pass rate of say 10 out of 20 or 12 out of 20. And then what they'll do is they'll sit down and kind of look at everything, try to make it as nicely. We don't want, you know, you don't want to quiz over. It's like a five, you know, middle-aged blokes, you know, you kind of want to mix it up. You want to have some young, old, you know, ethnic differences. You want to have, you know, from different, you know, different ages and different backgrounds. And so we, you know, and different regions. It's lovely to hear different accents as well. So that's when you get the magic formula. And then when you press record, you just, fingers crossed, pray to God that nothing screws up. And away we go. I give you, Sean, you love this, by the way, that we had these two contestants on from Northern Ireland had such strong accents on this quiz show before, and that the host couldn't understand them.
Oh.
And then they actually had to bring me up. It was luckily I was in the studio. And then they brought me up to the gallery and was like, you need to translate for us. And spoiler alert, they won the money. But they had such thick ballerina actions that they're like, queer privilege to be on the show here and all. Like, and the contestant who is from London, she was like, I can't understand him at all.
Oh, that's hilarious. Mark, we have to leave it there. Thanks a million for speaking again to us today. That was Mark Hughes there, game show question writer and also, as you heard there, part-time translator. One texter says, remember the RT quiz show called It's Not the Answer? There were about five possible answers to each question. If you got it wrong, the voiceover would say ominously, it's not the answer. I still wake up in the middle of the night convinced that the voiceover guy is in the room saying it to me. That's a weird thing to have dreams about.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.